Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
Now, our Father, you made us, and you know how this life is best lived. Teach us what joy is. As we open up your word, and as we submit ourselves to your heart. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you're probably wondering what that crazy video stuff is about. Jelly Roll did Son of a Sinner. Jelly Roll is a Christian, but he's a Christian sort of late in life, and he went from like here to over here. Right now, he's got two tattoos of a cross on one on each side of his face. But you'll notice in that video, everyone is, they're drinking, they're alone, they're sad. They thought going that way with life was going to make them so happy. All they had to do was just do what everyone else was doing, and they would know what real joy was, what real happiness is. And then Alan Jackson. Too much of a good thing is a good thing. And what does he have too much of? Smiling people, family, friends, and they're dancing together, they're singing, and it's just people. And they could have no money at all, and they'd be so happy. That contrast embodies what is the ongoing struggle and strife that we live with as human beings. And that is this life about all that stuff? Or is this life about something that the Lord blesses us with, and that we don't have to make it happen? If we live by faith, it comes to us by the God who loves us. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from the 128th Psalm. How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. This is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. May the Lord continually bless you from Zion. May you see Jerusalem prosper as long as you live. And may you live to enjoy your grandchildren. May Israel have peace. Enjoy your grandchildren. Well, I just saw them 2 weeks ago. Right after church, shirt and tie and hard shoes on, and I drove up to St. Augustine to their home and suffered about a day and a half of unmerciful abuse from my grandchildren. And Reed, the six-year-old, made me sit with him and watch Mario Brothers to his ongoing nonstop commentary, and then he'd fast forward. He said, this part's no good, and then he'd start talking again. So Brian and Kristen have this thing about screen time. They're only allowed so much screen time. So Brian got this from his old man. I told him, if they don't watch any TV for a year, I'd give them a $500 savings bond, which all three of them collected. So they got that, Brian got that idea from his old, all of his thoughts have, you know, everything he knows have come from me. So, they have an old hand-me-down 40-inch grainy flat-screen TV that we were watching this thing on. And I thought, okay, what is a grandpa's responsibility? Is to try to upset what the parents are trying to do. So I got online this week and I found something on sale at 86-inch flat-screen. And the kids are so happy. And when they FaceTimed me this week, Grandpa, you didn't get permission for this. Right, right. But what a joy it is to see our grandchildren, to experience the blessing that money cannot buy. It's just being there, just showing up. And it's a blessing that is almost beyond comprehension because of how very sweet it is. But we live in a time that is like all times. And that is that happiness, the promise of the pagan world, according to G.K. Chesterton, joy which is a small publicity of the pagan, is the gigantic secret of the Christian. But the pagan world thinks that this is all about power, prestige, and wealth. That all of life is about going after those things. And yet the faith says something very different. Faith says that's not about power, prestige, and wealth, but faith, hope, and love. And the psalmist is reminding his people then and us today what it's really all about. Now, I've seen a few episodes of a show that's on TV. It's on Netflix or one of those things. And I won't even say the name of it because it's just disgusting. The language is just horrific. I don't know why bad language doesn't also apply as air pollution. But we have to listen through this just cascade of bad language. But the story is of an extremely wealthy family, and they're all vying to be in control of this multi-billion-dollar company. And they have everything, and they have nothing. And then, of course, the show that I will recommend is Heartland. And you have no idea how much they have in terms of wealth or anything like that. They have enough to get by, but they have everything. It's a family with so much love that it's love that flows out to orphans and kids who are in trouble and others in the community. And it's unconscious. It's not like they're saying, well, you know, we really should do these things for these people. It just is something that flows from their hearts. And so that to me is likewise a sort of a contrast. Like Jelly Roll and Alan Jackson. Like that show and Heartland. And yet, why is it that we continue to want to strive for those things? You know, even the pagan world, you know, paganism, the word pagan comes from the word peasant. And paganism started because peasant people would see the magnificent growth of new crops or grass or whatever it may be, shimmering in the morning sun with the dew dancing. And they would envision little fairies. And they would begin to think in terms of the magic. It wasn't a cause and effect. It's not like the fairies did this, but there was a recognition of this mystery that comes with the newness of life and the birth of life. And so paganism started well, but of course it went south. But it has the same roots as the human heart that is capable of seeing beauty when we have eyes to see. And so it is that the people of God have a universal message. And that is, what is the real source of happiness is the blessings of God that are all around us. To be able to see fairies dancing on the grass in the morning, it's a gift of God. To be able to see anxious parents because their children are misbehaving, it's a gift of God. To be able to see Wayne DeGoler smiling with Billy Dean and Don in the closing days of his life. Gift of God. The blessings that we are lavished. The blessings that we have. And yet we can look right around it, right beyond it. We cannot even see it. And go for the brass ring. And when we get it, we think, okay, I've got it now, I'm happy. And then feel robbed because it wasn't the source of happiness. And so it is that we're left with this cultural mandate of wealth and prestige and power. Even our election process seems to be so much about that stuff. And we'd love for our politicians to think about some other things other than the will to power. Who's going to be in charge? And then, again by contrast, we have the core values of the Christian. And that's faith, hope, and love. It was reworded by a great divine in the 19th century, Scottish divine named Thomas Chalmers. He said, there are three grand essentials in life. Something to love, something to do, and something to hope for. And think about it. We've all known people who lose hope, and they're off balance. We've all known people who have no love around them, and they end up at the bar with Jelly Roll. We all have known people who just while away their days and have nothing to do. Something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. So I was at Home Depot not long ago, and I was looking for something there, and I asked one of the guys in the orange aprons, one of the orange aprons, where he might help me locate this thing. And he was probably, maybe 82, 83, I'm guessing. And I said to him, what inspired you to come back to work? He said, well, I retired when I was 60 years old, and I got bored. So I wanted something to do. I said, way to go. Way to go. I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing. Because he's celebrating one of the grand essentials of life. And somehow I think that because he had the gumption to work at Home Depot, I have no idea what he did in his former life, but because he had the gumption to work at Home Depot, somehow I just infer from that he has the gumption to be spoiled by his kids and grandkids, and that he lives with a simple hope that he belongs to God. So this psalm is so beautiful. Your wife will be like a verdant vine, giving forth fruit. And your children will be like olive shoots around the table. You'd have to know what an olive tree was and how they have little shoots that come up around the trunk. And it's a beautiful image, and it's a beautiful reminder of just how very sweet and precious this life is, and that God's blessings are available to all of us, and yet not if we're pursuing the wrong things. If we're in the pursuit of all the wrong stuff, we won't even see the good things that come to us when they do. I don't know if it was the same day when I was at Home Depot. I'm always fixing something. But in this day, I was returning something, and there was a young couple that came in, Hispanic couple. It's not like they were just such a gorgeous couple, but they were cute. And they were walking down the aisle, and back toward the appliances, and as they walked, she leaned over and kissed him on his shoulder a couple times. And I thought, how cute. And when I was leaving, they were coming out of the door, so I drove the car up by them, and I stopped, and I put the window down, and I said, "You two are so cute." I said, "But she's too pretty for you." And he laughed and said, "Yes, she is." Just blessing one another. Just being God's children and knowing the goodness of God and the joys that come when we simply live a life that is alert and aware of what God has lavished upon us. And so it is that we have something to love always, and that's one of the reasons why I love this church, because it's hard for anyone to get out of here without somebody putting a love on them. I've even seen some of you go after people after they've left the door, just to let others know how glad we are to have you here. But when family's away and families are in distant places, we need one another. We need each other to love one another and to pray for each other, to uphold one another, and to be church with each other. And that inspires for all of us hope. You know that we were not made for ourselves. We're not an accident that simply crawled forth from the primordial slime. We were made with a purpose. We inhabit the body that God gave us. We're not bodies with souls, we're souls with bodies. And He will one day take us to Himself, as long as all we have to do is trust in our Lord. And so we live in this very temporary life, and we have this very brief sojourn on this planet. But we were made for God, and He made us in a way where He shows us how we can best live, where life can be so full and so joyful as we live our lives together. And in that, we can hope. We can hope and have a deep and abiding joy in life. Will you join me in prayer? Oh Lord, You've given us all something to love, something to do, and something to hope for. Faith, hope, and love, these abide. The greatest of these is love. Because You loved us, O Lord, You died for us. You sent Your Son, who suffered for us and bore our sin so that it might not stand in the way of the fullness of life. We thank You, O Lord. In His name, amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.